Today on More to Life, different wavelengths. Is miscommunication causing conflict? We're going to help you start speaking the same language. Give us a call at 877-573-7825.
Everyone says they want to have a great marriage and family and personal life. Well, the theology of the body reveals how you can actually achieve it.
More to Life. The happiest couples know how to say I do to each other every moment of every day.
Surprising. Relevant. Hopeful.
Angela, let's not just settle for stopping your son's behavior.
Exactly. Let's talk about the kind of young man you want to raise.
Practical, theology of the body-based answers for every part of your life.
God's original blueprint didn't include depression and anxiety.
Yeah, that's a human invention. God wants to set you free. Let's talk about making that happen.
The life you were meant to live through the theology of the body. More to life.
Good morning, everyone. You're listening to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Dr. Greg Popchak.
And I'm Lisa Popchak.
And today on More to Life, we're talking about miscommunication on our show titled Different Wavelengths. It can be hard to get on the same wavelength with someone, even if you care about them. That doesn't necessarily mean you think the same way.
Oh, more and more, right? More and more.
So if miscommunication is causing conflict in your life, if you are struggling to communicate with someone you care about, or you're having a hard time getting someone to listen to you, or maybe struggling to understand what they want or need, if conflict, disagreement, or discord is driving a wedge between you and the people in your life, give us a call at 877-573-7825. Again, that's 877-573-7825. Let us help you take the next steps toward greater peace, understanding, and communication. We're here for you.
We are. And
what do you mean by that?
Well, exactly. You paused. What were you thinking? You know, and I think that now, more than ever, and I know that unfortunately we all kind of preface now, don't we, our anything we lead into with now, as opposed to any time before now, because things, whether we want to admit it or not, whether they're changing more to normal or not, the last year has changed things enough that everything is more raw. So a simple pause in a conversation or a odd look on someone's face, never mind a whole conversation with real opinions, can really elevate things. And I was talking to a friend of ours the other day, and she's still living in New York City. She and her spouse are in theater. They're not working. They have a one-year-old in a one-bedroom apartment. They're fine. They're great. They love each other. But she was talking about, you know, everything is just more intense. It was New York. The lockdown was harder. The winter was bitter cold, so it wasn't like they could just stick the baby in a stroller and go, you know, walking through a park. And so every look that might say, I'm bored, I'm tired, I'm angry, I'm frustrated, I'm worried, you jump on it with your spouse. You jump on it with your, are they okay? Are the kids really okay? They've been, you know, doing this virtual school thing.
Upset with me. What's the matter?
Why did you look at me that way?
Yeah.
There's all of that undertone. Even if you're, like, back to work, things are still just odd enough in some places, and in some places it's much rougher, to give us that extra, what's the word I'm looking for? Not edge, but kind of like our springs are wound a little bit too tight with people.
Mm-hmm.
And then you take everything else we've been through as a nation, in our church, in our normal lives, and the discussions that have gone on. I think everybody's just kind of, A, sick of trying to communicate, quite frankly, and B, dealing with communication hurdles that we've never had to really deal with as intensely before.
Yeah, well, and as you're saying, you know, even if the person that you're trying to communicate with is somebody that you like and get along well with, generally speaking, everyone's emotional temperature is higher.
Without us even realizing it at times.
And that because that baseline emotional temperature is higher, we're all a lot more reactive than we normally are, a lot more defensive than we are usually. And all of that leads to the likelihood that we will misunderstand each other, misinterpret each other, miscommunicate with each other. And when that happens, things break down. So we are asking you, are you struggling to communicate with someone in your life? Whether that's your spouse, your kids, a friend, a frenemy, somebody that you work with. We want to help you bridge that gap, whether the challenge is getting them to actually listen to you and take your needs or concerns seriously. Because that's so frustrating. You tell somebody, hey, I really need this. And then they look at you and say, I just don't know what you want. I mean, I literally just told you.
Yeah. And people are laughing, thinking you're joking, but we really do go through that. We all go through it at certain times. We really do.
Of course, sometimes the shoe's on the other foot, and someone's telling us what they need, and we just can't. It doesn't make sense.
Doesn't make sense, or we just don't have the bandwidth to do it, and so the frustration rolls harder.
And then, you know, we live in a time where if you have a different opinion from somebody, then all of a sudden you are the great Satan, and they don't ever talk to you again. And that's especially painful when, you know, these are people that are important to you.
Your kids, your spouse, your siblings, your parents. It gets rough.
And so if we thought, you know, this would be a good day to kind of do a show on bridging those gaps. So if conflict or disagreements, discord, is driving a wedge between you and the people you care about, whoever they are, let us help you take the next steps toward greater understanding, greater peace, greater connection in your life. The number to call is 877-573-7825. Again, that's 877-573-7825. The show is titled Different Wavelengths. And we want to help you get on the same wavelength with all those people you are clashing with today.
You know, I do want to clarify one thing, which was, you know, you were talking about everybody sort of has a heightened emotional level,
mm-hmm.
you know, in the course of this year and even now. And I want to clarify what that means, because it can be a variant for people. Like, most of us think when we're a heightened emotional level, we're in a state of all of our alarm bells are going off, right? And a lot of us went through that this year. Politically, worries about finances, worries about illness, worries about family members. We were heightened. I think a lot of people recognize that kind of heightened because there comes with it an energy, a panic, a what are we going to do?
Attention. Yeah.
Attention. Now I think people's intensity level or emotional level is still heightened, but in a different way that they don't necessarily recognize. It's the, I'm just so done. I just can't take it. I don't want to talk about it. I'm just so done. And we don't recognize, we think that's the opposite. We think we're leveling off, things are getting better. We're not at that five alarm fire mode, but
the shutdown is also an example of emotional flooding. You know, so there are three ways that we react to having a heightened state of stress. The first one is fight. You know, which was the one that comes to mind when we talk about a heightened emotional temperature. Everybody thinks, well, that means, you know, we're on edge and attacking each other or being hostile or antagonistic. Okay, that is for some people that's true, but for other people you flee or shut down. One way to flee is to run away from people, but another way to flee is to emotionally just shut down and withdraw and kind of turn in on yourself and just, you know, I just can't deal with people anymore. I'm just going to be quiet and mm-hmm. mind my own business. That's a kind of flooding, too. And then there's the freeze, which is where you kind of panic and shut down completely, and you just can't deal with things. And so those are all different ways that communication gets disrupted. You know, when you're talking to somebody and they're just agreeing with you to shut you up, you know, they're flooding. You know, if you're talking to somebody and suddenly they just get really quiet and they get this sort of 1,000-yard stare, you know, because they're flooded and they've shut down. They might not feel like they have a heightened emotional temperature, but they do, because at that point your logical brain goes offline and you just start reacting to things. Where do you see that happening in your conversations with the people in your life? Give us a call at 877-573-7825. We're going to help you in all those areas where you are struggling to communicate effectively with someone you care about, whether that's having a difficulty getting them to take your needs seriously, listen to your concerns, address the problems that you're bringing up, or you're just really having a hard time understanding where they're coming from. We want to be here for you and to help you create the communion that comes from good communication. 877-573-7825.
Well, I love the idea that you use the phrase, create the communion that comes with good communication. Because too often people think, oh, well, you know, good communication, that's for, you know, all those secular people out there who are just, you know, worried about relationship all the time. But no, this is something that creates communion, helps to create the kingdom of God. This is what we're called to do. And the theology of the body reminds us that one of the primary work of building the kingdom of God involves building real communities of love between us and the people that we share our life with. And a big part of creating a genuine, loving communion between us and others is cultivating understanding. Really listening to each other is hard. But if loving another person means helping them to become everything God created them to be, then we need to take the time to really listen to each other so that we know what each person needs to grow and to flourish.
You know, cultivating that spirit of understanding and good communication isn't just good for our relationships, as you pointed out, Lisa. It's a spiritual exercise that allows us to love each other as we love ourselves. You know, we cannot meet another person's needs unless we know what their needs are, and that requires us to take time to communicate, to listen, to be understanding. And how do we do that? You know, it sounds great on paper, but the reality is, when it comes to our actual relationships, it can get complicated. Let us help you bridge the gap on our show today titled Different Wavelengths. The number, 877-573-7825.
Well, I love the fact that you use the phrase, like, spiritual discipline or a spiritual exercise,
yeah.
You know, because so many of us think our spiritual exercises or to be spiritually disciplined is something that we do internally. It's something that we, you know, we take to God and we're in front of the sacraments, or we're alone in a dark room and we're praying and we're being in union with God, and that's what we do. Or we offer something up and that's what we do and then we're done. It's very very much a God and us and a
religious
inner,
thing. Almost a religious thing, really,
you know,
in some ways.
And
yeah.
A just purely internal me and God moment. But we have the sacraments so that we can then go and do the real spiritual stretching of being out in the world with our brothers and sisters.
Well, you know, one of the things about the theology of the body, it reminds us that there is that the distinction between a spiritual life and our everyday life is an artificial one.
Mm-hmm.
That for the Christian, life is a spiritual exercise.
Yeah.
You know, we need to stop thinking of the spiritual exercises as the things we do when we go to church or carve out specific time to pray. Those are certainly spiritual exercises.
And they feed the rest of it.
Exactly. They're the source of everything else. But the rest of our life is a spiritual exercise, too. You know, the effort it takes for me to really master myself and listen to you when you're talking to me, work to try to understand rather than react to you, be compassionate when you say things that frustrate me. You know, those are all spiritual exercises that help me grow in virtue. And allow me to draw closer to God and to you. And that's what a spiritual exercise is meant to do. You know, a spiritual exercise is not just certain words we say at God. A spiritual exercise is anything we do that helps us draw closer to God, to another person, or be more of the people that God created us to be. And good communication, and the skills and virtues associated with good communication, are all spiritual exercises. You know, if we say Lord, Lord, but then cuss each other out, we're missing the point.
Even internally, we're missing the point. Let us help you out today. If you're struggling with communication, with a relationship, with someone else, 877-573-7825. Let us take all of these concerns to the Lord.
Amen. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Lord Jesus Christ, we come into your presence. And we thank you for being the Word that brings all things to life and for having the words that lead to everlasting life. Lord, we ask you to give us the words that create communion and connection between us and others, especially in those relationships where there are breakdowns in communication, where it's difficult to get others to listen and attend to our needs our concerns, to take the problems we raise seriously. Sometimes, Lord, it's the other way around. We have a hard time understanding where another person is coming from. You know, and when they're presenting their needs or concerns to us, we react negatively or feel threatened in some way. And rather than responding, we react out of fear, out of loneliness, out of a sense of isolation. Help us to bridge the gap. Help us to communicate well using your words that bring real life and vitality to all of our relationships. That in everything we say and in the way we hear each other, we can build the communion that comes from good communication. We ask all of this through the intercession of the Blessed Virgin Mary and in the name of the Father,
and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Pope St. John Paul the Great.
Pray for us.
Today on Mortal Life, the show is titled Different Wavelengths, as we talk about what it takes to get on the same wavelength with someone that you are struggling to communicate with. Let's talk it out at 877-573-7825. Again, that's 877-573-7825.
Let's talk now with Susan, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Massachusetts.
Hi there, Susan. Welcome to More to Life. What's going on?
Susan, are you with us? I can hear something back there. One more time. Susan, and listening in Massachusetts.
Well, we seem to not have. Let's go to Kathy, who's listening in Nebraska on KVSS. Hey, Kathy, welcome to More to Life. What's going on?
Hi there. My youngest son and his girlfriend, I'm estranged from them. My youngest son, actually, the girlfriend actually kind of hates my guts. And,
oh, my.
Dear, I do not like when that happens.
I'm
that
so
is a
sorry.
Horrible
well,
thing.
It's really weird. I really don't know what I've done, but she hates me so much that. I post a lot of pro-life stuff on my Facebook page, and in November I received a letter from Planned Parenthood thanking or telling me that I had been honored with a gift in my name by her. So she's pretty nasty. He blames me for a lot of stuff going on with my other son, who's about to lose parental rights to my granddaughter. It's just too kind of ugly to go into, but he very seldom responds to texts or messages, and I'm just wondering what I should do. I do pray. I'm praying to St. Augustine, St.
Well, it sounds like the key there is he's trying to get your attention. They're angry with you because they think that you should be doing something that you're not, and so they're being passive-aggressive in a way to try to manipulate you into doing what they think you should be doing. So what is it exactly that they think you should be doing?
Well, it actually goes back 5 years ago. My oldest son with my granddaughter was evicted from an apartment. I found out about it 5 days later, and my youngest son and my ex-husband decided that my current husband and I should take them in. Well, my other son had already arranged for a place to go, but he is an alcoholic. He's a recovering meth addict. He does have issues. He was neglecting her. And he has not done what he needs to do to get her back. And because of health reasons, we weren't able to take her in. But my youngest son just is bent on this. If we had done what we should have done, according to him and his my ex-husband, everything would have been fine. Well, it wouldn't have been fine.
Yeah.
And he keeps bringing that up, that had I done what they thought that, you know, they just told me, this is what you need to do. There was no discussion. They just decided between them that this is what we should do.
I see.
And it's kind of ugly. And it is really, truly revolving around this woman that he's with. She is a much fallen away Catholic, actually atheist. He refused to go to stay for her grandmother's rosary at her grandmother's wake, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah, so she's hot. She's not just an unbeliever. She's hostile.
She's very hostile. I mean, the fact that she made a contribution to Planned Parenthood in your name when she knows what that would do to you is very hostile.
So, Kathy, I'm really sorry to hear the situation that you're in. And, you know, when you're dealing with the kinds of issues that you are, there are a lot of people who misunderstand what compassion and love really require. You know, and what you've got here is an older son who is dealing with both alcohol and meth addictions, and you've got a younger son and a girl and his girlfriend who, well, and an ex-husband on top of that, who all believe that supporting the older son means enabling him, not letting him face the consequences of his actions and experience the things that will make him want to get better. The thing is, what people don't understand is that, addictions, as far as the addict is concerned, an addiction is not a problem. An addiction is what makes them feel good. An addiction is what makes them be able to cope with life. Addictions are problems for everybody else. They're not problems for the addict. That's why there's truth in the saying that we sometimes have to let the addict hit rock bottom, because until then, the addiction is not the problem as far as the addict is concerned. But that looks mean to people, and in the world, when you don't have the sense that love means working for the good of another person, you have this, what you believe naturally is that love means never letting anybody suffer. And what that does is it leads you to behave in ways that actually enable addictions and destructive behavior in some cases, which is what your ex-husband and your youngest son and his girlfriend all believe you should be doing. Unfortunately, there's not a lot you can do to bridge that gap except, I guess, two things. One, continuing to text, continuing to message, not trying to resolve the problems, but just sending those messages. Look, I love you. I was thinking about you today. Or you're just passing along this meme or this, message, and just leaving those lines of communication open, you're going to receive abuse for that. But blessed are those who are persecuted for holiness' sake. And that can be cold comfort sometimes. But I want you to keep those lines open and keep letting them know that you are thinking about them, that you love them, that you hear if they want to have a relationship with you, that you understand that they're hurt and that they're confused, and if they ever want to talk through something with you directly, you're here to do that. But beyond that, beyond leaving the door open for future communication, there's not a lot you can do. What I would say, the other piece of it is, don't take this attack personally.
Which is the hardest thing for a mom in your position to do. Don't think we're saying that like, oh, it's easy, just don't take it personally, put up your shields.
It feels personal, but it's not.
It needs something you have to focus on.
It's coming from a place of woundedness and of hurt and pain and confusion, and until they're ready to receive that message that love does not mean enabling, but rather working for the good of another person, they're not going to be able to receive what you want to give them. But that's not a personal attack. That's rooted in genuine woundedness and misunderstanding. Kathy, I'm very sorry for the situation. We've added you to our More to Life prayer list. And if there's more we can do, don't hesitate to reach out to us again here on More to Life. With that, we have to go to break. When we come back, we'll be talking with you about breakdowns in communication, and Father Thomas Loyal will be joining us to share some insights from the theology of the body on creating communion through communication. Stick around.
Ann Arbor Smiles welcomes Dr. Patrick DiDonato and Dr. Abigail Walker to their team. Patrick is a parishioner of St. Thomas the Apostle in Ann Arbor, and Abigail is a pediatric dentist with openings available without a wait. Learn more about them at AnnArborSmiles.com. The team at Ann Arbor Smiles offers nearly every specialty in two convenient locations, including cosmetic dentistry, braces and Invisalign, and even sleep apnea. Ann Arbor Smiles provides care for the entire family. Visit AnnArborSmiles.com.
This Ave Maria program is brought to you by the following nonprofit underwriter.
When you give, you want your charitable donations to be as effective and efficient as possible. Streamline your charitable giving while supporting the causes you care about. Consider a donor-advised fund with Catholic Charities. Learn more about how you can maximize your charitable donations with a simple, flexible, and efficient giving tool. Visit ccusa.gives. That's ccusa.gives.
Hi, I'm Al Cresta. How can Catholics help heal America's tribal divisions? Former U.S. Congressman and pro-life Democratic leader Dan Lipinski joins me and Ralph Martin in tackling this key question at the 4th Annual Familiaris Consortio Conference, Strangers in a Strange Land. There is a place for Catholics who don't feel comfortable with either political party if they have the courage to be Catholic first. Join us in person on Saturday, March 6th from 8:30 to noon at Father Gabriel Richard High School, or go to AveMariaRadio.net.
More to Life is underwritten by the following nonprofit organization. Real Estate for Life. Buying or selling your home or business property? Real Estate for Life can connect you to one of 900 pro-life real estate agents around the world. When Real Estate for Life receives a referral fee, They donate 80% of the referral check to Ave Maria Radio and Students for Life. More information at realestateforlife.org or 877-LIFE-US1. That's realestateforlife.org.
Welcome back to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, and we are talking with you today about struggles with communication. Joining us right now, Father Thomas Loya with some insights on how the theology of the body can help us communicate more effectively. Hi, Father Loya. Welcome to More to Life.
Thank you. Good being here.
So let's talk about, you know, how we need to understand each other's needs and what that looks like.
Yes, I think one of the great, great, and very, very handy principles of theology of the body is understanding each other as man and woman, as John Paul II said. The big question is, who is man for woman, who is woman for man? Many times when there's, especially in a case of marriages, where there's difficulties, communication and arguments and so on, I find in my work with married couples, so oftentimes, almost every time really, in some form or another, it's a matter of not understanding each other's legitimate fundamental needs as man and as woman. And what happens is when arguments occur, what the two are doing actually oftentimes is they're trying to say to the other person, this is my need that you're not missing. You're missing on that. I'm trying to communicate that to you. It's translated or heard in the form of an argument. And that's why, as you said earlier, first thing is don't try not to be defensive. Try to listen to what is this person really saying to me? What is their message? They're trying to say, hey, I need something from you, you know, in a legitimate way.
We need to jump in, Father Loya. I want to thank you for your time. But the point being, listening to the need, not the words. Stick around for more after this.
The Bench Pub in Livonia is a new supporter of Ave Maria Radio during this COVID-19 crisis. During this difficult time, they're offering carry-out and delivery service with special deals for vital service personnel. In addition to their famous burgers, the Bench Pub features award-winning homemade chili and fish and chips every day. The Bench Pub is located on 5 Mile west of Farmington Road in Livonia. Look for the Bench Pub on Facebook. They're here for you during this crisis. Mention Ave Maria Radio for a 10% discount. That's the Bench Pub in Livonia.
How do you tell a person that he is being overbearing, overthinking, and controlling? There really is an art to communicating and a Christian way to offer constructive criticism. But what is it? Criticism is the act of judging unfavorably or fault-finding. However, it can be appropriate to judge a person, thing, or action. In fact, a true friend will speak the truth, even when it's hard to hear. Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but deceitful are the kisses of an enemy. That's in Proverbs. Jesus was quite critical of the Pharisees' hypocrisy, and he expressed his disapproval forcibly on several occasions. Just read the Gospel of Matthew. However, Jesus' criticisms were always truthful and always loving. Our speech should be edifying. Read Thessalonians. Therefore, encourage one another and build up one another. So go into the conversation with the intent to help and not hurt someone. This has been a Christ-centered communication message. I'm Vanessa Denhagarmo, a communications evangelist.
This program is brought to you in part by Charity Mobile, a proud partner of Ave Maria Radio for over 10 years. Charity Mobile is the pro-life cell phone company and has sent nearly $2 million to thousands of pro-life charities. 4G LTE coverage is available nationwide, and 5% of your monthly plan cost goes to your favorite pro-life charity. A video introduction is available at CharityMobile.com. Charity Mobile, everyday living, effortless giving. CharityMobile.com.
Hi, I'm Lisa Popchak. Many new parents approach Greg and I with questions about techniques to be successful parents. But this is the wrong attitude. Remember, your baby is not a machine. There's no operating manual for parenthood. Every parent needs to learn the language their baby speaks in order to create a positive, trust-filled relationship that is optimal for his or her emotional, spiritual, and physical development. The language of baby consists of touch, cuddles, and intensive FaceTime. By speaking this language, you are telling your baby, come close to me. Learn from me. Let me teach you what the world means and what it means to be you. There are supporting actions such as baby wearing and breastfeeding, but most important is your attitude. You brought this little person into the world. The best gift that you can give them is a willingness to give yourself in self-donative love. For more ways to build a positive relationship with your child, visit us at moretoliferadio.com.
Welcome back, folks. You're listening to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Dr. Greg Popchak.
I'm Lisa Popchak.
And our show today is titled Different Wavelengths. We're talking about getting on the same page, communicating more effectively. And, you know, as Lisa was pointing out in the pop-up there, good communication even begins in infancy, where we learn to attune to each other and really tune into each other and each other's needs, as Father Loya was pointing to. Are you struggling to communicate with someone in your life? Maybe you're having a hard time getting someone to listen to you, to really attend to your needs or concerns, or actually address the problems you're trying to bring up, not to make problems, but to solve them. Maybe someone is coming to you and bringing a concern or a need that you're having a hard time relating to or even hearing, because all you can pick up on is their antagonism or their hostility or their frustration. Maybe there are certain disagreements, frustrations, or discord driving a wedge between you and the people you care about. Let's talk it out together at 877-573-7825. Again, that number, 877-573-7825.
Well, Greg, we got a message from Kevin, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Ohio. And he says, I'm having a difficult time having conversations with my teenage daughter. She's 14. Whenever I try to discuss her friends, who are nice but kind of confused and worldly about dating and sexuality, my daughter seems to be on the right path. She says she loves God, is a good student, gets mostly A's and B's. But when I question anything about her friends, even gently, she gets super defensive. I'm finding myself feeling scared to bring up anything, and it's causing me to have pre-plan everything that I say and how I say it. I don't like feeling this way with my daughter. What am I doing wrong? And that's Kevin.
Well, Kevin, welcome to adolescence.
You know, true, very true statement, but at the same time, it's not, that statement is often used by society to say, so just don't worry about it,
no.
You'll outgrow it, you'll be fine.
No, I don't
She'll
mean that.
She'll be fine, just accept that it's hard right now.
No, I don't mean that, but you know, one of the themes, you know, with in relation to, you know, Kevin's message and our previous caller's question, you know, one of the themes of today's show is good communication requires you to not take a lot of things personally.
Which is, it's hard to sort out, because they're telling you, the person you're having a struggle with is usually saying, take this personally, it's all on you. And you're worried, did I do something wrong?
Right.
How should I? It brings a lot of emotional angst with it.
When somebody seems hostile, antagonistic, or in Kevin, in your daughter's case, defensive, they don't mean necessarily that you've done something wrong. They mean, I feel threatened by this somehow. Okay? And so what could your daughter possibly feel threatened by in this conversation? Well, you know, if you give her this information, I'm not saying you shouldn't give her the information, but I'm saying if in her mind, if my dad is saying to me that what my friends are doing is wrong, or that my friends are not living rightly, or my friends are, you know, whatever, going to expect me to either start fights with them or not have anything to do with them, and then I'll be a social pariah, and I'll have to live in my parents' basement forever, and my only friend will be video games. For teenagers, and we talk about this in Discovering God Together, teenagers are in the stage of faith, well, the relationship stage of faith. Technical term for it is the synthetic conventional, but it's the relationship stage of faith. And what that means is that for a teenager, they know something is true to the degree that it facilitates their relationships, and they struggle to believe that something is true to the degree that it complicates their relationships. And so you can see the challenge that Catholic parents have when communicating the faith to their teenage kids, because just about everything about our faith can challenge their idea of what relationship, the world's idea of what relationship should look like. So what do you do? Well, one, don't take it personally, as I said, but two, don't be afraid. And three, build relationship, and that's where you actually want to start. I want you to try to focus on getting as much one-on-one time as you possibly can with her. Not specifically to lecture about this or talk about this or even discuss it, but I just want you to let her come alongside of you. Work on your family prayer relationship. You know, bring her to God. The most important thing is having her develop a personal relationship with Christ. So you're facilitating her prayer relationship. And when things come up, help her bring her friends to the Lord. You know, don't use prayer time to lecture her through prayer. But so, for example, if she talks about a friend who's struggling with something, you don't necessarily have to present a lot of doctrine about it or even, you know, a lot of information. You can say, you know, let's pray for your friend. Lord, help this friend know what she's worth in your eyes. Help her to know how much you love her. Give her the guidance that she needs to recognize the beautiful, you know, woman that she's becoming or the good person that she is, and help my daughter know how to be a good friend to her through this, a friend that will help her know how much dignity she has in your eyes and know what love really means, right? So you're praying about this stuff. You're showing her how your faith can help her relationships as opposed to being a threat to her relationships. The more you do that, the more that's going to open the door for other conversations, specifically about the particular challenges that her friends are having about love and sexuality and all that other stuff. But you've got to first, especially these days, make that connection between you and her, and make that connection between her and God, and then make that connection between God and her friends so that she can see how her faith can be a source of strength, support, and clarity in the midst of all this confusion and feel less threatened by the idea of bringing this stuff to you so that you don't feel, you know, so that she just feels like every time I talk about this with Dad, all he does is he lectures me about what the church says about religion or what the church says about sexuality or what the church says about love. And that's going to make me, you know, have to go fight with my friends or not deal with my, you know, all that stuff. You're not telling her that, but she's thinking that, right? And so to get over that objection, to defuse that bomb, it's all about strengthening your relationship with her, strengthening her relationship with God, and showing her how that relationship with God can give her a way to minister to her friends in a way that's not threatening to her.
And I think it's important to realize that this is a lifelong thing, right? Even if you can wave a magic wand and make all of her fur friends have a, you know, perfectly rightly ordered way of thinking, or suddenly disappear so you didn't have to deal with them, or whatever that was, life is about her developing relationship outside of the parent-child relationship. So doing this, investing in this way, mentoring in this way is something that will last her a lifetime through all of her friends, all of her jobs, all of her life circumstances. So remember that it's investment for the long run, even if you're struggling with it a little bit now.
877-573-7825. We're talking about communication on our show titled Different Wavelengths. Are you struggling to communicate with someone in your life? Let us help you bridge the gap. That's 877-573-7825. By the way, I should have mentioned, I'm sorry, to Kevin. A good follow-up to the points that we made is our book, Beyond the Birds and the Bees. Let me say that again. Beyond the Birds and the Bees, Raising Sexually Whole and Holy Kids. I think it's a book that every parent needs these days because it's going to help you negotiate very troublesome waters. It takes a developmental approach from infancy through young adulthood to address all the questions parents have about raising truly faithful and sexually healthy kids. Again, that book is Beyond the Birds and the Bees. I really encourage you to pick it up at CatholicCounselors.com as a follow-up to our comments, Kevin. But if anybody out there has a kid and you're worried about raising them to be sexually whole and holy, Beyond the Birds and the Bees is the resource for you. Check it out at CatholicCounselors.com. All right, with that, who's our next caller, Lise?
We're talking with Frank, who's listening to EWTN Radio in South Carolina.
Hi, Frank. Welcome to More to Life. What's
Hello,
going on?
Hello, how are you?
Great,
good,
thanks.
Thank what's you. On? What's going on today?
Yeah, my wife and I, we've both been divorced, and we have been married now about a year and a half. The communication is, there's a huge breakdown. It seems that whenever, first of all, I'm in fear to even talk about any of my aspirations, goals, or dreams, if you will, because they get shot down. You know, it's just, I hear about all of hers, and she wants me to jump on board with them and, you know, support it, which I do. She's my wife. That's what I do. And
can you give us a specific example, Frank, of an exchange that you and your wife might have, maybe something that's happened recently that would illustrate sort of the nature of the breakdown?
Yes, I am a Protestant pastor, and I feel like I've been called to another faith group, which is, she was brought up Baptist all of her life, and the faith group that I really feel that I've been called to is Anglican.
Okay.
And she won't delve into any learning about it. I mean, it's just slam door shut, case closed, don't even talk about it. This morning, for instance, I sent her a text with a prayer from the prayer book, and it was just a very good blessing prayer. Where'd you get that? Did you get it from one of those Anglican books? And I replied back, yes, I did. That's what I thought. And no, thank you. Words of encouragement. And she's talking about starting our own business. And last night, you know, she goes, because I'm near the end of my Master's of Divinity, and
mm-hmm.
She was like, you're going to need to stop school so you can help me start this business. No ask. I mean, it was a demand. I'm 50 years old, and she's a few years older than me. I'm like, well, I've only got just a, you know, two semesters to go. I'm done. Well, now I need to get this thing rolling, and I need your help in it. And I'm
okay.
Like, wow.
Well, I'm so... what I'm going to say to you here is, and this is a good illustration of something we mention all the time on the program, that when people have conflict about religion, it's really rarely about religion. It's 9 times out of 10 about a failure of respect in the relationship, and respect is the virtue that allows us to see the truth and the goodness and the beauty in all the things the other person finds true, good, and beautiful, even if we struggle with that personally, right? So, you know, what you're describing here is not just that your wife is hostile to religion, it's that any time something that you value comes up that she doesn't value, she's struggling to see the truth and the goodness and the beauty in that. It's a failure of that basic respect. And I think that as a first step toward addressing that, I would reframe the conflict around that. You know, to be able to say to her, listen, honey, I do support you, but your inability to recognize the importance of this thing, or that's not about the, you know, my being drawn to Anglicanism. That's not about me finishing my graduate degree. It's about a failure of basic respect toward me. And I'm sure you don't mean it that way, but that is exactly what it is, because you're completely unwilling in this moment to try to see anything that's good or important or valuable about the things that are important to me. And I would hate to think that that is the person that you are. You know, can we work through that? Are you willing to hear that? Can we please talk about this? Because I need you to hear me. Now, if that approach does not work or make things worse, then there's a good possibility you're dealing with a woman who has some narcissistic tendencies, and you're going to need to seek some professional counseling for that. Because if that simple reframe, where you go to her and say, look, this isn't about grad school, this is about you just not being willing to respect me by trying to see anything that's good or beautiful or true about anything that's important to me, you know, the normal person is going to say, oh, gosh, I didn't think of it that way. I'm really sorry. That was pretty short-sighted. Like, you know, if Lisa ever said anything like that to me, I'd be mortified.
We'd
right?
be devastated, I mean, and vice versa. Like, I mean, it would stop us cold, like a record scratch, and we'd have to fix it.
Yeah, and I could see myself, you know, kind of doing that. You know, I'm a passionate person. I've got big ideas. I can accidentally roll over people pretty easily, but if somebody points it out to me, I'm horrified, right? And that's the reaction your wife should have. If you say to her, listen, honey, you know, I appreciate you're passionate about these things, but, you know, you're just being totally disrespectful to anything that's important to me, and I need you to look at that. You know, if she's not horrified by that and says, you know, gosh, Frank, I'm so sorry, that's never how I've meant to come across, let's talk through that, then what that means is that she's narcissistic, and you're going to need somebody else, a third party, to step in and give her a reality check. Because otherwise, she just doesn't respect you enough to recognize that you have a right to be your own person with your own needs and desires and hopes. And if that's the case, nothing you say will be effective because she's already written you off before you've opened your mouth. You're going to need another professional to step in there into that gap and help re-educate her on how to view other people as people. So my hope is that by reframing this as a respect issue and not a religion issue or a grad school issue or whatever, that she'll hear that. And then you guys will be able to move forward. If not, that's where the professionals need to come in. If you'd like some support in the meantime, I'm going to encourage you to pick up a copy of How to Heal Your Marriage and Nurture Lasting Love, which you can get at CatholicCounselors.com. Again, that's How to Heal Your Marriage and Nurture Lasting Love. We do talk in that book about how to manage conflict more effectively. It's based on the research into how happy couples, how healthy couples actually manage conflict and communication breakdowns. I think it'll be very useful for you moving forward, Frank. Thanks so much for calling in. We ask that the Lord would bless you in your ministry and your continued work here, and that he would help you and your wife come to a more peaceful, grace-filled place in your relationship. 877-573-7825. As we head out to our break, it's time for our scripture of the day, which comes to us from Psalm 133, verse 1.
How good and pleasant it is when God's people live together in unity.
A little encouragement there.
Encouragement, but I think a lot of people just went, yeah, right. Because
so that's never going to happen for me.
We don't see it very often. And we feel, and many of us, especially when we hear God's people, not just, all of us are God's people, but when we hear God's people, too, with, oh my gosh, this is even among those of us who profess to be believers in God, and we're still not unified, it can be disheartening, it can be discouraging, we can have a tendency to give up, but that's what Satan wants us to do. We're called to so much more. We're called to be in unity together and to know the goodness of that. And so if you're struggling, if you're not feeling that right now, if you're not feeling very unified with those people that are in your life, we're here to help you get some of that unity so you can feel that goodness and that pleasantness in your life from God. 877-573-7825. That's 877-573-7825.
We'll continue our conversation with you about getting on the same wavelength with the people you care about on our show about communication when we come back after the break.
This Ave Maria program is brought to you in part by the nonprofit CMF Curo. If you're facing uncertainty with your current health care plan, now is the time to join CMF Curo. You can join any time during the year, and CMF Curo offers flexible Catholic health care solutions for individuals, families, and employers. CMF Curo is your personal healthcare advocate. Contact them today at mycatholichealthcare.com. That's mycatholichealthcare.com.
Hello, everyone. This is Peggy Stanton. I want to tell you about Pregnancy Aid Detroit, which is a nonprofit Christian organization on the east side of Detroit. It offers women positive alternatives to abortion. They are a 501c3 charitable organization, and they recently relocated next to two abortion centers on 8 Mile Road, which gives them greater visibility to abortion-minded women. They offer free pregnancy testing, ultrasounds, and material aid. For more information, please go to their website, pregnancyaiddetroit.org. That website again is pregnancyaiddetroit.org.
Do you own popular index mutual funds or ETFs? If so, you're automatically owned shares of companies that conflict with your moral beliefs. Ave Maria mutual funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors can invest in the no-load Ave Maria mutual funds. The experienced professional portfolio managers make decisions based on investment fundamentals and pro-life values. You can learn more about Ave Maria mutual funds today at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
Want more tips for living a more joyful, abundant life through the gift of the theology of the body?
Well, and follow us on Facebook at More to Life with Dr. Greg and Lisa, and on Twitter and Instagram at Catholic Counselors. We'll see you there. Welcome back, folks. You are listening to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. We're talking about communication today on our show titled Different wavelengths. Give us a call at 877-573-7825.
We're talking now with Sandy, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Michigan on Ave Maria Radio.
Hi, Sandy. Welcome to Mortal Life. What can we do for you?
Hi, yes. I just wanted to tell you that your last caller, when you said his wife will be horrified when he stops and tells her, something like that happened to me at work. I work with a lady that, you know, we've probably worked about 2 years together, and all of a sudden, out of nowhere came this, she just said, you know, you're snarky and blah, blah, you know, and all this, and I was like shocked. I mean, No one had ever called me snarky before, and I said, what did I do, you know? Well, she couldn't really give me an example, so I was crushed because I had no idea that she thought of me like that. So I said, you know, do me a favor. The next time I act like that, tell me in the moment. I said, because, you know, I need to know, and I'll correct it. I will try. Well, last Christmas, she told me, and it was right after Christmas. I worked the holiday, and a few of us did. She did not. Well, she'd come in the day after and said to one of the young girls, oh, what did you do for Christmas? She says, oh, well, I had to work. She says, oh, well, what would you have done anyways if you didn't have to work? And I just sort of laughed, and I said, same thing you did. You didn't work. So that was it. She came and called me into her office and just said, just because I have angst, don't embarrass her like that. And I said, are you kidding? I said, that's, I said, I, it, yeah.
So she can take it, but she can dish it out, but she can't take it, is what happened.
Yeah. I was like, that's what you think snarky is? You know, so.
So is this somebody in authority over you, or is this a colleague?
A little bit. Not a lot, but, I mean, she's not my direct boss, but she is a director. And I just thought we had this great little sort of, like, you know, comedic, you know, Carol Burnett thing going. And
So the reason I ask that is, okay, because you're gonna handle it differently if she's in authority over you versus if she was a colleague, right? So if I'm gonna start with the colleague answer, and then we'll move to the superior answer.
Yeah, I think that's the way I'm going.
The colleague, you know, in that example that you gave, you know, she was actually being snarky. Well, what else would you have done besides, well, I would have actually celebrated Christmas. Thank you very much, Ebenezer.
Or I'll do it. None of your darn business.
In that example, you know, she could dish it out, but not take it. I mean, you were very gently, I think, using humor to point out kind of the hypocrisy of the statement there, that she was being snarky. And so I think that if she challenged me on that and said, okay, that's an example of you being snarky and you embarrassing me, if she was a colleague, I would just say, listen, you know, I called you out for being snarky yourself. You know, that was a really disrespectful answer that you gave to that other person who actually worked on the holiday. And rather than being sensitive to that, you decided to say, well, what would you do anyway? Which is honestly a very Scrooge-like answer. And I gently called you on it. And I appreciate that you feel embarrassed, but frankly, it wasn't me that embarrassed you. It was your own behavior. I'm gonna do that as gently as I can, but if you keep that up, this is what you're gonna get. And I mean, so I think you need to double, if it's a colleague, you double down on it and say, you know, in charity, I just use the gentlest way to point out the fact that what you said was wrong, and you knew it was wrong, and that's why you're feeling defensive and calling me snarky. Now, if it's a superior, you can't get away with that. Okay, with somebody, you know, the superior, you just have to watch what you say, you know, and you know, kind of walk on the eggshells thing, you know, and you did exactly what you should do. Say, point it out to me, and if you you know, if you let me know, I'll clarify. And I think the best you could do if it was somebody who was an authority over you, say, you know, I'm sorry, that was not my intention to be snarky. Honestly, your comment came out, landed a little bit wrong. You know, I think it felt like you were being dismissive of the sacrifice that this person made, and I was, you know, trying to diffuse the tension that comment caused by using humor. And so, you know, I'll certainly be sensitive to that, but you might want to also look out, you know, for how you communicate those things to your employees, because, you know, honestly, it creates a hostile work environment. That's the best you could do with somebody who is a superior. But either way, you know, just because somebody says that we've done something wrong doesn't necessarily mean it. We have to kind of take that to prayer, really reflect on what our intention is, and then communicate that intention to the person so that they can really hear what we're trying to accomplish. If they're willing, if they're decent people, then they'll hear that. And if not, then we just need to make adjustments and set boundaries that protect us from their crazy. Thanks for the call, Sandy. That's all the time we've got for today's program. If there's more we can do to support you in your efforts to bridge the gap in communication between you and someone you care about, check out the many resources we have available for you at CatholicCounselors.com. That's CatholicCounselors.com. And remember, with God's grace, there is so much more to life. Get out there and celebrate the life that God has for you. Have a blessed day.
You've been listening to More to Life with Dr. Greg and Lisa Popcheck. More to Life is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and is carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Our producer is Dan McGraw. For copies of this program or for more information, visit AveMariaRadio.net.